Radiolab is supported by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, exercising, cleaning. What if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
This is Radio Lab. You are Robert Krulwich.
Robert Krulwich is my name. And you're...
I'm Jad Abumrad. And today our topic on Radio Lab is sleep.
Yeah. It is something that all of us do. We can't help but do it. It's dangerous
so
to do. It's so good. And it's universal.
Think about it. You know, sleep is dangerous. And if sleep could have been circumvented in some way, natural selection probably would have found a way to do it.
That's Steve Lima again from Indiana State University.
Because it would be such a great idea to not sleep.
Don't I know it. But there are times when you just can't sleep.
Right.
Maybe you're one of the 35 million Americans, I am, who has chronic insomnia.
Yeah.
You just can't sleep. You don't know why. It just doesn't happen. Or maybe you do it to yourself and you pull all-nighters for school, or you have to drive long distances. Or, and here's what we want to turn our attention to next, maybe it is done to you. That's the case with producer Hannah Palin. She kept this audio diary of her own experiment with sleep deprivation. She has an 18-month-old son.
It's 2:54 for the record. Today was my first day back at work. We were discussing budgets. I just, I couldn't even articulate what it was that I was seeing on the computer screen and try to communicate that to the curator that I work for. The words didn't come lie down on me. Instead of saying, "Well, Nicolette, I believe that that choice was made because," no, all that came out was like, honey buckets. I mean, nothing would come out. There's just no brain cells, really.
Darn. I almost had him asleep there.
So anyway, that was my first day back at work.
Dominic will not sleep.
I don't know why.
And I'm trying to get him to sleep. And
I'm kind of at my wit's end.
Ugh, God, this just sucks. Totally sucks.
Here's the funny thing. Everybody has a theory. And I was talking to my sister-in-law tonight, and her theory is that he's not getting enough milk, because milk has some agent in it that would help him sleep. And he doesn't like milk. It's true. Other people say, oh, if you just would exercise him, if he just gets fresh air and exercise, he'll sleep all night. If you just let him cry, he would sleep all night. If you just would do whatever it is we're not doing, he would sleep all night. And there's this feeling like, there's a feeling like I am doing it all wrong and that I'm a failure as a parent and I don't know how to do this. Come here, sweetie. Come on. Just hang out on me. So anyway, I needed to record just one thing really quickly, and that is that yesterday and today I've been struck by this. I've been struck by these waves of satisfaction and delight with being alive in this amazing landscape with with a funny kid. These beautiful mountains and water, and I don't know, maybe it's just getting a little more sleep in the last couple of days. But I just suddenly feel like, wow, I'm so lucky. Okay, I've got to take my kid to play now. Here we go. Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man. Okay, that whole I'm loving life. Yeah, that's all gone now. And it's pretty much because Dominic won't take a nap. We came home from the beach, which I thought would wear him out. Then we sat down and read some stories, which for some reason... And I realized that an element to the sleep deprivation and an element to this whole thing is that I get angry from having my own needs subverted to the needs of this little tiny person, which, when you're not sleep deprived, is not a big deal.
I'm tired.
I'm tired.
I'm tired.
I don't want to wish a minute of Dominic's childhood away because it's so precious to me. But damn, I am looking forward to that moment when I'm able to say, honey, time to go to sleep. And he does it.
Tired.
No.
Not tired.
Just a minute.
Close your eyes, Buck. And close your eyes.
There's my personal take on what it's like to be sleepy.
Good night.
And to crave sleep as much as you crave water or breath. I crave it.
Thanks to Hannah Palin. And her son Dominic and her husband Steve. I know. Poor Hannah.
But there is a science question lurking in the background, which is when, you know, when Hannah was so tired, why does she feel that way? You know, what?
Because she hasn't been sleeping.
Well, yeah, but what makes her, you know, what is the essence of tiredness?
Lack of sleep. Hello.
No, chemically, I'm asking you. Oh, chemically, Abumrad. Right? What is happening to her? If you were way down in her cells, could you see something tired-like going on? That's what I
That's a good question,
good.
Actually.
I'm glad you think so, because I know a guy who has a theory about this.
Did you see Tiger yesterday? He's unbelievable. He had the best round of anybody. I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
This is Dr. Alan Pack. And in addition to being a rabid golf fan, he's also a rabid, can you be a rabid biologist?
Sure.
At the University of Pennsylvania, he's been looking at sleep down at the cellular level. And one thing that he's found over and over and over.
And that's been shown in mouse, it's been shown in rat, it's been shown in fruit fly.
Is that inside certain cells in all those different animals, when they're sleep deprived.
Eventually what happens is you don't get proteins properly folded.
Excuse me? Proteins properly folded?
Mm-hmm.
A phenomenon called the unfolded protein response.
What on earth does that mean? Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you're asking why do you need proteins to properly fold?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking.
Well, you're made of proteins. Proteins are the essence of you. So if your proteins are misshapen, if they're not folded properly...
And if you don't fold the proteins properly, they don't have the right three-dimensional structure. And as a result, they start accumulating inside the cell. And then these different unfolded proteins can aggregate together and form clumps. Clumps. Inside the cell and essentially clog it up, and it's really quite toxic to cells.
Clumpiness equals tiredness, it would be his formula. Remember when Hannah was so exhausted?
Yeah.
God, this just sucks.
Well, because she hasn't slept much,
totally sucks.
Inside her cells, lots of these valuable little proteins have not folded properly. That, he thinks, is the consequence of not having enough sleep. So maybe what's going on is the cells can't do their business quite as well, and things start to break down, and that adds up across the whole of your body to a feeling of... But when she gets to sleep, remember when she's so happy?
Yeah.
I suddenly feel like, wow.
Because of the sleep.
I'm so lucky.
A group of cleaner-uppers have gone through her cells, removed the toxic and misshapen proteins so that, in effect, sleep is the best housemaid you've ever had in the hotel of you. And this idea, the idea of sleep as a cleaner-upper, might even explain one of the most basic things about us as humans. How we learn. That's the notion of Dr. Giulio Tononi.
Testing, 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 testing.
My producer, Ellen Horn, and I went to visit him at his offices in Madison, Wisconsin.
What are we expecting? What does he look like? We don't know what he looks like.
A football player.
A football player.
But like a quarterback or tight end, not like a linebacker.
Like a linebacker. So big, but not overwhelming.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you even know that?
Oh, website. See, but I was totally wrong. Sometimes
Now, to be fair, he is a very attractive guy. He has sandy blonde hair and glasses. So he's actually more the sensitive guy intellectual than a linebacker. Yes. Introduce yourself.
I'm Giulio Tononi. I am a professor of psychiatry here at the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
But when it comes to the subject of sleep, which is his specialty, he takes sleep very seriously.
What got you in sleep?
Sleep is the annihilation of consciousness. So it's a terrible time in which everything disappears, the universe and yourself with it. I think if people didn't sleep and didn't have the unconsciousness of sleep, they possibly wouldn't even realize that consciousness is an enormous gift.
So being awake, then, is wonderful, but it's what happens when you're asleep, he says. That's what allows you to make very important connections in your life. And he noticed this first when he was connecting with, I believe it was a guitar. He was playing music.
I used to play, for instance, I play classical guitar. I'm sure many people who play musical instruments know that. You may train and train and train on a piece during the day, and you get better for sure. But you're never perfect.
No.
And then you sleep over it. The next day, you wake up, you play it again, and now it's smooth and, you know, it flows beautifully.
That happened to you?
It happened to me. It happens to lots of people.
That happened to me all the time. I discovered that sometimes if I worked on a piece and put it away, went to bed and got some rest, I had it better learned than if I stayed up all night cramming.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's one story, and I hadn't thought about this for a long time, but, well, first of all, Rob and I, like, play in a band together.
The band is called the Sisterhood of Convoluted Thinkers.
And we switch instruments, like, a lot.
She's usually the bass player.
I was going to play drums.
And so she had to learn how to play drums.
So we rented a cabin.
We went somewhere to rehearse, and at night she was really just kind of practicing and practicing and trying to get this rhythm.
This one particular beat, like, I worked on it, like, a lot. I just keep going and going.
I remember playing that one thing again and again
yeah.
and again.
Stop! And I finally just gave up and went to sleep. And the next morning, I got up and went, like, straight to the kit, and I just played it, like, immediately.
The butt hit the stool, and she was going. She could just do it.
I thought it was magic. You could just learn stuff in your sleep.
So in the middle of the night, somehow the things that your fingers did repeatedly and the notes that you were using to propel your fingers, all those things somehow got better learned. So you learned overnight what does that have to do with, you remember better in the morning?
Well, what happens is that the next day you're a bit better off. What happens during the night to make you better off, this is up for contention.
Tononi's contention is that sleep helps you remember by forgetting.
I don't know what that means.
Well, let me explain to you what he's saying. He says there's a limited amount of space in your brain.
The real estate in the brain is pretty limited.
Limited amount.
That makes sense. And it's a small little guy up there.
Yep. And yet every experience you have during the day
is going to take away some space.
Uses up a little of what you got.
When you are awake, inevitably, you learn whether you want it or not. You are going around talking to me, having breakfast.
I'll just have a medium coffee.
Then going to work, then yakking on the phone with your friends, talking to your mom. Very different from some of the friends. Then going home, taking a bath. Should I take a bath?
Yeah, I get it.
Everything you do during the day, every thought you think, no matter how small, it all causes your brain to form new connections. This conversation, as we're having it, is reshaping my brain.
Yeah.
And little pathways are forming that weren't there before I sat down.
Exactly. Whether we recognize it or not, lots of things are going to change your brain by the end of a waking day.
So if in the middle of the afternoon you sit down with your guitar and you practice the guitar intently, those 2 hours you're also making connections. And because you're concentrating, maybe you're making more connections than usual. These are guitar connections. And all those synaptic connections made during the day, one
I'll just have a medium coffee.
Upon the other, upon the other. By the time you're ready for sleep at the end of the day, up in your head, it's a giant, unruly mess.
And that is where we think sleep kicks in.
Well, I'm going to guess here, but I think you think that sleep is a garbage detail that comes in and says, okay, you're done, you're done, you're done.
It's actually even simpler than that.
According to Tononi, there's not really a janitor who comes in and decides, okay, you have to leave, you get to stay. Nothing like that. Instead, he says what happens?
We think that during sleep,
waves of electrical activity, kind of like a late evening bath, wash over your head. They start at the back of your head and they move to the front.
These waves are called slow oscillations.
And over the course of the night,
1,000 times a night,
those waves wash through all the experiences of your day, all the little synaptic connections that you made all day long, and every one of those connections,
all of them,
gets just a little bit softer.
They get weaker. Progressively, gracefully, they get weaker.
Even, he says, the things you want to hold on to, like the guitar.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Yeah. You were the one who said you learned how to play the instrument in the afternoon. You went to sleep and you play the instrument better in the morning.
Yeah.
So why would you wake up the next morning playing better? You should play more weakly, with less confidence and less memory. Because after all, you've just given the whole place a bath.
It's all relative, sir.
What he means by relative is this. That mess of new connections in your head,
yeah.
Some of those connections are softer. Some of those connections were louder. The random things you ordered for lunch, they're softer.
Yeah, I'll have a turkey on rye.
Okay.
But the guitar, because you spent so much time thinking about guitar technique, you spent so much energy on it, that's louder. So we're just measuring connections here. Now imagine that sleep is a big volume knob. So listen to what happens when you lower the volume on the whole day. Lower, and lower, and lower. Now, you hear how the softer stuff just falls away? You can't hear it anymore?
Yeah.
But the guitar, while it's getting softer too, because it was so loud to begin with, now it stands out a bit more clearly, no?
Yeah.
The signal, the synapses that have survived reasonably well, are heard better because the background has become more silent.
And so your ability to play the guitar better the next morning is not because you've learned skills overnight that you didn't have before. It's because all the other stuff taken up your brain has gone down in volume, and you're left with, relatively speaking, a better guitar fingering technique.
You put your finger on it.
So Mr. Tononi feels that sleep is a little bit like wind and rain, like the process of erosion. At the end of the day, or rather at the beginning of the morning, the things left standing are the things you need to know.
We should go to break.
Okay, so coming up next, for those of us who can get to sleep, next, our chance to dream.
This is Radiolab. I'm Jad Abumrad.
And I'm Robert Krulwich.
We'll continue in a moment.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.